this episode of the Sailing Road Podcast, we're giving you a virtual tour of the Miami Strictly Sail Show as we dream about what boat will fulfill our cruising dreams. We'll also cover some of the interesting equipment vendors we saw at the show to help you spend your 2016 outfitting budget. Well, welcome to another episode of The Sailing Road. This podcast is about everything sailing, from coastal and lake cruising to global offshore cruising. My name is Steve Payment, and I am joined by the girl whose tastes in boats far exceeds our bank account, my beautiful girlfriend, Brandy Bryant.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys realize this, but I never know what he's going to say right here. And what does that mean exactly?
It means that...
I'm in trouble, or we're in trouble when we go to buy a boat.
Yeah, right now it means I got to work harder. We both have to work harder. Because every boat we saw at the show that you said, oh, this one would work.
Yeah, but you got to realize when we're at the boat show, they're all brand new boats. It's going to be a little bit different when we finally decide to start looking for our boat.
But all the ones that were within reason...
Well, wait a second. You're the one who changed your mind and said, yeah, we are definitely going to have to go into the 40-foot ranges.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit more later in the show. But the yeah, we definitely...
I'm a girl! Well,
you also put yourself in the boat and you say, could I live in this? Does it feel livable? And you start thinking about storage and everything else. And
see, I'm going to be the one that's justifying all that stuff, yeah. So...
But there was some pretty big price tags there that... would make it
way too far out of our budget, yeah, but they were fun to look at.
So maybe we'll figure out a way. Maybe they'll be more reasonable when the time comes. They'll go down.
Absolutely.
So we've been working on some videos, and I've got so many videos so far back that I just can't even catch up. So I went ahead and skipped over everything and just worked on the boat show video since those go along with this show. And we are going to actually do three parts. It's probably going to be almost an hour in content for the boat show. The boats we go through, we'll give you kind of virtual tours of them, just quick walkthroughs, what we thought about them. And so we're going to break that into three parts, and those we'll start releasing with the first part with this podcast, and then we'll keep releasing them every couple of days probably after that. But the patrons will get, our patrons will get the first access to that. They'll get it a week early. And we'll give more details on that in the Patreon program later in the show. Another thing I wanted to mention, a Christmas gift that I got from my brother was the One Simple Question movie. And I had forgot I got it. It was buried under something in my desk, and we finally got around to watching it. And if you're not familiar with the movie, it's called One Simple Question. It's a sailing documentary, and it was done by Teresa Carey and Ben Erickson, who have a very popular sailing blog called sailingsimplicity.com. And they've just been really great young people in the sailing industry that are making their way and creating a business out of sailing. And so they came up with this idea that over one summer, they wanted to go in search of an iceberg. So yeah,
not exactly what I would think of doing to get on a sailboat.
In the summer?
It was really cool to watch them chase icebergs because that is not something I personally want to do. I might jump on somebody else's boat and go check them out, but not sure I want to go into the cold weather like that. At least not as of now anyway, so...
But it was really well done.
This
is their, absolute first film, and they, hired a professional film crew and helped with it. But it was definitely a stretch, I'm sure, on their finances to pull all this off. And it was fun. I totally forgot. But at the end of the movie, they run in the credits people who supported the project. And I think they were in the editing process, and they said that they needed funds to help them finish the editing. And I'd sent off some money to them. And totally forgot about it until
the
credits started rolling. I said, wait a minute, I think I did that. And sure enough, our name was there. So, look for our name. I'm not sure if it says The Sailing Road or at least says Steve Payment, Brandy Bryant, I think. But so that was really great. And so definitely check it out. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. You can get the DVD now. I think it's $18 to get the DVD. It's so worth it. It's a great movie. It supports, like you said, a young couple in the sailing industry making their way. And Teresa and Ben have also gone into sail training now. They run a company that they started called Morse Alpha. So you can look that up at morsealpha.com. And they just, I think last year, got a new boat. It was a really nice cruising boat. It's a Robert Perry designed Norseman 447, which...
Yeah, show me that, because yeah, I don't think I know that boat.
I don't think they've been made in quite a while, but really good quality, good size, real good live aboard. Great for, you know, taking the, if they want to do sail training, taking people out and having enough berths and room for everybody. So look for that in the show notes, and I'll put it out there. And another thing I wanted to mention is I was looking at our downloads and all the statistics around our downloads the other day. And it'll even show you where it gets downloaded around the world. And I did a quick tally of it. And I'm happy to say that the Sailing Road podcast is now downloaded in over 80 countries and islands around the world.
So, that's really cool.
So we are...
we are global.
We are global. I can't believe that many people out there listen to us babble about our lives. But I'm glad you are. We really appreciate all the support. And we would love to hear from some of our global listeners. You know, we only sail the United States, so we'd love to hear about some of the exotic places and what's sailing, local sailing, like in other places. You know, you see people that, you know, leave the States and go around the world and tell their story, but it'd be really interesting to get the perspective of what it's like to be part of a yacht club or a sailing community somewhere else in the world. So if you're out there, definitely send us an email. We would love to hear from you and hear about your story. Just send an email to crew@thesailingroad.com. And we'd love to hear from that. And then we're trying to plan our next sailing
fingers
trip.
Fingers crossed. It's this weekend, but we have a... I know. The cold front that we're getting is not a cold front, but it's a cold front that's coming through, and it's supposed to be in the low 40s at night here, so...
Right. But and maybe not even much wind. So we've got cold days and nights, and then not much wind does not add up to a good sailing trip. So we'll see how the forecast changes as the weeks goes along. My brother always liked to say in the Navy that every day out from the day of the forecast is like 50% off as far as accuracy.
Well, weather people are always wrong. So
who knows what it's really going to be like this weekend, but we'll see. If we're not this weekend, then the following weekend, we're going to try and get out. And I think that is it for just the general news. Up next, we're going to have our overview of the Miami Strictly Sail Show. We'll be right back. Okay, now we are going to do our overview of the 2016 Miami Strictly Sail Show. And we just came back from it last weekend, beautiful weekend in February.
It was great. The weather was awesome.
Absolutely gorgeous. I wish it was going to be like that this weekend when we went sailing.
There
was a nice breeze. It was probably in the mid-70s, just beautiful sunny skies on Saturday. It was a little more cloudy on Sunday, but it was just gorgeous out. Perfect day for a sailboat show and definitely put us in the mood for the sailing season.
Yeah, you can actually go to our Facebook or Instagram page, and we did a little snippet of an overview to see the mast of all the monohulls and catamarans when we first got there, and it was just a beautiful day. You can just see the wind and the flags flowing away.
So we've been to the – this is the third time we've been to the show. We kind of went every other year, and then last year we went, and now we're going yearly probably because of the podcast, but – the Miami show tends to have, in the past, you had some really huge, unrealistic boats, like 70-foot catamarans. They used to have like three or four 70, 80-foot, just monstrous $4 million catamarans, things that, you know, were a little bit too flashy for the average sailor.
Yeah.
They were nice to go look at and run around, but they weren't very realistic. And they seem like they're getting to be more realistic, even though it is dominated by big catamarans, which are
definitely
very expensive, very nice, but very expensive. And I think that, when you really think about it, I think there was probably close to about equal in monohulls this year.
I think a little bit more catamarans again than monohulls, but maybe it's just because catamarans are so big. You see much more of a catamaran than you do of a monohull.
They take up twice the space, so
yeah,
it seems like
they
took over at least half the show. They seem like they do. So when we got there, there was a couple of unique boats that I really wanted to go see. And so we went right to those first thing in the morning before they got too crowded. And the first one was the Neal 45 Trimaran. So this is really a modern trimaran made up to be either cruising or racing. They actually had the 45-foot version there. I think they also make a 65 version. Unfortunately, I didn't have that one there to see the comparison, but they had the 45-foot trimaran, and this was the racing version, and actually had just finished winning the Atlantic Rally for Cruisers. It was actually, it felt smaller than I thought it would be. So comparative to a 45-foot catamaran, it definitely seems smaller as far as accommodations, but
that's because it's compact right into the center instead of into the side hulls. So.
Right. So it's really everything is more focused on the center of the boat. The decks, you know, kind of felt small. Even on the outside, it felt small. It has the, you know, curved roof, so you're not really using the top of the salon roof. And then the front, the tramps were also pretty small.
Well, I'm thinking maybe that one just seems so small because it was the racing style. With it being the racing style, it probably had the bare minimum of whatever you need
it would still
inside
be
of the boat.
Yeah, it would still be the same hull for the cruising version. But I will say that the accommodations inside were nice. The setup was nice. It had two berths up top right when you first walked through the door with the bathroom right there. And then when you walked down, there was more of a command console and chart table and everything up front with a table. And then down below up front was a third berth that was, you know, fairly small. They're all probably queen size berths. I mean, they had good room in them. But I think the most interesting thing was the bathroom.
The toilet. This was hilarious. Steve was doing video and I don't think he even noticed. I'm like, did you see the bathroom? And he's like, no, I must have walked right by it. And literally you do walk right by it. It's the first door when you walk into the trimaran. And when you open it, you know, it's a decent size like most bathrooms.
Yeah, good size bathroom.
And if you look over, you literally see straight through the toilet. The toilet has a glass top and you saw ocean water. Yeah. There was no bottom to the toilet.
It was the
which
lowest.
Which could be beneficial, yeah, I guess.
The lowest maintenance toilet I've ever seen on a boat. But it was.
It's perfect if you need a bidet, you know, low maintenance bidet. Just got to time the waves right.
Yeah, I joked with the guys. I said, that's, you know, you got to make sure you're timing those waves right. You're going to get a surprise. He goes, it serves two purposes. So,
absolutely.
But yeah, this was the racing version, and they said that, you know, that would not fly in the United States and that they'll re-rig the boat with a normal head before they sell it out. But they wanted to keep the weight down for coming across in the Atlantic, and it worked.
Which makes sense. They came in 11th?
They won. They were in first place.
Yeah, but there was another thing that they did, and he said it came in 11th.
Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't hear that.
I wouldn't remember what it was.
But it was very interesting. Something different to see. You don't see many trimarans being built, modern trimarans. I'm sure the 65-footer it's just got huge amounts of room in it compared to that. But it is different because it doesn't use the hulls, the side hulls, as much as it does in a regular catamaran. The next boat we saw was the Balance 526 catamaran. And this was just an amazing boat. We're going to do an entire video just on this boat. We included it in the video that is going to come out on the show. But we're going to do a whole separate video because there are so many innovations that they put into this boat that it was really, really comfortable. So it's a high-performance catamaran, 50-foot catamaran that is, I think, one of the most comfortable boats we saw at the show as far as the size.
Just the technology and the things that they put on it itself. It was just a very thought-out boat. It was just neat. It became one of our favorites, I think. So just the different stuff that he actually walked us through just left me in awe listening to him talk about it. So
yeah, so they a couple things about the interior that I thought was amazing. The version that they had there, one hull was the owner's master suite, we often see in these catamarans. But I think the bathroom was to the rear, and the main berth was up to the front. But I think it was the largest head of any boat
I
saw.
Is that the one with the bathtub?
No.
Oh, okay.
You didn't. I don't even think you even went down there. I think you were talking to him
or
something
like
that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I was talking to him while you were going through.
I was doing the video, but you'll have to see on the video. It is massive. It was, the shower was huge. So it's definitely a cool boat. And then we went up and we started talking to the owner of the multi-hull company that was running it. And he started taking us through all these innovations. It's got this Versa helm that's pretty cool because it's a main helm. You can either bring the wheel down on this arm. So you're looking through the windows of the salon to be able to steer the boat, or you can tilt the arm all the way up to a raised helm position where you're sitting up in the normal. A lot of the catamarans have these raised helms. And so you can tilt it all the way up and be up there. And then the salon roof closed or opened. It was all hard roof. Where normally they have biminis up there that are, you know, kind of a permanent bimini. There's completely retracted down, convertible, and went into the fiberglass. So it doesn't have any wind resistance. And then just so many great things they did with anywhere they could use epoxy, they used epoxy. So there was very little stainless to maintain on the boat.
Which is great.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's so well done. This boat was so well built. It's all the modern core, you know, delamination type core boat. It was really,
it was amazing.
I think
we even met the guy who designed the boat.
Yeah, he was actually there. Yeah, the builder
was
there.
He was just looking at us, get the tour of it, was like, yeah, this is my boat.
It was awesome. So that was definitely our new favorite.
Yeah, the Balance 526. So it was cool.
So then we went on to last year's favorite.
Yes, I fell in love with these boats. I just, as soon as I walked on them and walked through, it just... The design, the color, my favorite part is the upstairs on
That's
it.
That's the
Fountain
Peugeot.
Yeah, the Helia 44. I think what I fell in love with most is up at the top when you're steering, you actually have a layout right next to it where everybody can just chill and sit with you while you're steering the boat.
It's
you
a
don't
party
have to
deck.
Be separated from the captain. You know, you can see everything up at top. Oh, it was awesome. So that is, I think it's still probably one of my favorites because it's more in the price range if we were to do a catamaran, but just itself, I like that boat.
Yeah, it's, I don't know about that in the price range. It was way out of the price range.
A used one? Come on.
Oh, maybe in about 50 years. It's definitely
a
possibility.
We did talk to one of the, was he an owner?
He was a broker.
Broker that was there. And we got some good information about
how people actually buy those boats. Yeah, we might have him on the show later to talk
about. Actually buy those boats. There's different ways of being able to be not a partner, but a seller. And you get income from owning the boat.
Yeah, that's the typical charter line. But this was a whole different way that he structured it. It was mostly if you have your... you wonder how people can afford these $700,000-$800,000 boats, and he had a whole way of structuring it around. If you have a business, it becomes part of your tax structure of the business, and they've really done a nice job on how they put it together. So I think we're going to have him on the podcast at some future date and talk through.
He can definitely explain it a lot better.
Yeah,
than we
how
could.
They do it, but so that I mean, it's just the Fontaine Peugeots. They have that kind of a New York apartment feel, just a great feel of the boat, very comfortable, livable. And I don't know if anybody's followed, there's two really popular YouTube channels that are out there. Chase the Story, which has just started a circumnavigation, so look them up. And then Out Chasing Stars, who we're going to have an upcoming interview. So they're both young couples, and they're out there on these beautiful boats, just having a blast and touring the world. So definitely check out their YouTube channels. And then the next catamaran that we came across was the Maverick 440. And I had never saw this one before. It kind of had a funky shaped hull.
It was Butch. Right? That's the one we're talking about?
Yeah.
It was like a catamaran on steroids.
It kind of had a spaceship, like a 70s spaceship looking thing. The portholes kind of stuck out from the sides.
It was the catamaran that has been to the gym a few times
than
it's the other swole. Catamarans. Swole, as my son would say.
He's a little swole. But it had some interesting things in it. A couple of things that we thought were interesting is, and you'll see in the videos, is it had at the helm, it had these dual kind of almost like racing
bucket seats.
Yeah, it looked like they came out of a Porsche or something that you sat at it. You know, I don't know how. I guess they look comfortable.
Could be a little bit more comfortable. If you're hitting rough seas or something, you'd be more settled in the chair and not sliding around.
That's why they put them in race cars, to keep you from flying around.
Moving.
So
it
definitely held you into the seat. And then the other thing we thought was really neat in it is when you walked in the salon, it had a normal kind of a U-shaped a table with a U-shaped seating around it. But on the back side of the U-shape, it went into a whole almost like a berth. It was I called it a party pit because
yeah, absolutely.
You could put like you could sit four or five people back in there having drinks and looking out at stars, and
it was definitely like a whole nother sleeping area right inside of the saloon. So,
it definitely made the saloon and the table. You wouldn't even have to put the table down. You could literally, it was a queen size bed without
even. Yeah, definitely.
So we thought that was kind of interesting, something different. And then I think we moved on to the privilege catamarans. We looked at a couple of those, though. I think the one I put in the video was the Privilege 50. And I saw this one last year. Really well done. It's a comfortable boat. This one that we went in, they outfitted with six refrigerators.
Six, yes, you heard that right. Six. The person who owned this boat was a chef, and I could just imagine how much food he had on the boat. I think it was his sister who was on the boat, kind of talking with us, and she said that he uses every single drawer too. So six drawers for food and freezer space. That's insane.
Well, I remembered seeing this one last year. I think it was brand new then. It's called the boat. Name is Privileged One, and it actually left the Miami show and went down and did charters in the BVI. So I don't know if it's still doing it, but so you'll get a good tour of that. The one thing I don't like about the Privilege, at least in this range, this 50 that we looked at, is it's missing that party deck up top that the Fontaine Pujols have. That it's, you know, that it just, it's a nice to have that second area, almost like a patio up top to use. And I don't think it really took much away from the Fontaines to have it up there. It's probably adds some weight to the boat, but it's definitely makes a great usable space to get up there high above the water and sit and have drinks or talk to, you know, other people can sit up there while you're at the helm. So I thought that was kind of missing. And then we went on to our first monohull.
Yeah, we didn't do a lot of monohulls on Saturday. We kind of started on one side and walked through. So you only hear a few of the monohulls from the first area, but then we slowly make our way over.
I think the second day we hit more monohulls, but there's a few we hit. The first one was the J-122, and this is a 40-foot racer cruiser. I mean, everybody knows J-boats are extremely fast monohulls. And this one was a kind of a compromise between being a racer and cruiser. It had a very comfortable interior, not as luxurious as probably or comfortable as some of the other boats, but it definitely was functional. The one thing I thought was funny about the boat, because it is a racing boat, is a 40-foot boat, the helm had to be...
It was huge.
Five feet across.
It went from one side completely to the other side. There was no space other than the step up onto the side of the boat, and you literally had to go around it. Right. And it actually went down into the boat. It had a crevice cut out so that it could, you know, turn or whatever. So there was no moving this wheel. It was stationed there.
Was
you know,
huge.
A lot of the wheels have the flip forward or flip in.
Oh, no. This was a carbon fiber solid wheel.
Oh, no. This was completely wheel. Yeah. Solid wheel. So
I mean, the purpose of the boat is to be a racer that you could also spend the weekend on if you wanted to. So it was...
Yeah, but don't you... See, I guess I don't understand the whole racing part of it. Don't you need to be able to move? Were all the lines behind the wheel, or do you just have other people? I guess other people are doing the lines.
It had a foot on each side that you could get around the wheel. I mean, it was...
It did not seem convenient to me at all.
It was a big wheel, so...
Huge.
That was the J-122. I thought that was interesting, though. J-122, 40-foot boat, had a berth up in the V-berth in a bathroom, and then a berth in the back behind the galley, both probably queen-size berths. But it also, on the other side in the back, had a second bathroom, which I thought on a racing cruiser, I don't know why, I'm surprised that they would put a second bathroom on a 40-foot boat, just for the weight and other things in there. But they did, and so it's definitely got some comforts to it. So then we left that, and we moved over to the Beneteau's.
Which is always such a very busy area. They're a very popular boat.
It's definitely the you know, if somebody's looking at a monohull, the more modern monohulls there seem to be very, very popular these days. So we tried to fit in a couple of boats. It was kind of hard. They were just packed full. But we did get on the DS-44 Sun Odyssey, and it was very comfortable. I think we went on that one, and then we went also on the 35-foot. And the 38, because we're trying to kind of see, okay, could we really live on... My thought was, I'd like to keep it smaller and simple, under 40 feet, because it's just easier to handle. When we were on our friend's boat in the Bahamas last year. It was a 47-foot center cockpit. And when they put out that Genoa and we saw the loads on, you know, a 65-foot mast with that big a sail, we were just in shock at how big the loads get.
I thought theirs was a 52.
No, there's a 47-foot.
Oh.
So that really gets you thinking about, you know, everything that you have to handle and trying to keep the boat a little bit smaller. Now, I don't think we need to go to 47-foot. I think somewhere between 40 and 45 is probably in the sweet spot.
Definitely, definitely. I think my main concern is just the inside of storage. You know, you walk through all these boats and you start really thinking about the necessities of being able to live aboard and having storage and being able to place things and not feeling cramped is, it's a key. You've got to be comfortable. So that's, I'm sorry, I really have to go over 40 on that one. We might have to battle it out, but I could see 38 possibly.
Well, it depends on the boat.
Can we get rid of one of the bathrooms on the 40 though? Because I don't know if I want to take care of two heads.
Yeah, that's another thing that we have to think about, how the boat's laid out. But it's fun to go look and kind of feel what it would be like to live on the boat and kind of picture yourself. One of the other things I've noticed in a lot of the boats these days, and the designers are probably doing this because most boats aren't level boards. Most people are just using them for the weekend and coastal cruising. So storage and things like that are not as big a concern. And what I noticed that they're doing is they're eliminating side cabinets and storage and pushing everything like the seating and everything right out to the walls.
Which is great. It makes it feel very, very roomy. But again, it's all that storage is gone.
Right. Because people aren't living on those boats. Most boats sit in the marina and they go out for a couple weekends a year and then they get sold. So that's kind of going away from some of the modern boats. I think that's going to be lost in a lot of these boats to make them harder to be livable. Or you will live on them and then you're just going to have stuff scattered all over because there's no cupboards to put them away in.
Well, see, that's when you got to go for the bigger boat because then you have more... more berths and you can store stuff in the berths.
Yeah, possibly. So then we left that and it's always fun at boat shows. They have all kinds of displays and they had a whole display of small boats. So we went through there and there were some racing dinghies and a compact kind of day sailor boat. So it was nice to look at, really good quality. And then they had this Smart Cat inflatable catamaran that I thought was pretty cool. And I've seen these before. Essentially, I think they fold up in like a couple duffel bags that you can store on your boat. But and I've heard they're pretty fast, but I've never seen one in person. And they've definitely engineered this thing to the hilt. I mean, they've got a spar out front that has a rolling furling on it. I mean, it looked like it could really cruise. So it'd be fun to try one of those out sometime. So that was fun to look at. And then we went over to, I think we took a break and had a beer because we had going in and out of all these boats in the sun. We were getting kind of hot. But after having something to drink, we went over to the vendors and checked those out. It's always cool to see all the cruising gadgets and sailboat gadgets that you can get for your boat. One of the first vendors that we walked by was the Cruising Outpost booth. And Bob Bitchin and his wife Jody were manning the booth as always, and Jody was demonstrating the Hook and Moor automatic mooring hook. I can't remember. Had you ever saw one of those before?
I think I had saw. I think we saw it down at the St. Pete Boat Show.
Oh, okay.
I think so. Yeah. I think I said the same thing that I want one, but right. Then again, we haven't tried a mooring yet, so
yeah, we
who
haven't
knows had... how it's going to actually work out. But it looked really neat. It looked very, very convenient.
Yeah, it definitely makes it easy to grab these moorings. So they were demonstrating those, and we got to talk to Bob for a little while, which is nice. So then we came across another booth that I never saw these before, the Rainmaker Portable Water Makers.
I thought these seemed very, very convenient.
Well, if somebody, you know, I think a lot of people, they buy a boat and they're not sure if they're going to keep the boat long term or deal with installing a water maker can be very complex and trying to find all the places to put all the parts and pieces to it. And so essentially what these are portable units. It's a two-piece unit. So one piece is about the size of a Honda 2000 generator, if anybody knows those little generators. And that is the pump. And then another piece is about probably 3 feet long by 8 inches tall, and about 4 inches wide, and just like a little long suitcase. And that's your filters. And you can take these two pieces, set them up on deck, plug them together, and it'll make anywhere from, I think they have two different units, so kind of a low capacity and high capacity, but I looked them up and they're anywhere from 20 to 50 gallons per hour.
Can we get one of those for our boat? Because we don't have, I mean, we have fresh water that we bring in our containers, but...
When are we going anywhere in our boat longer than
maybe
we...
Maybe it will make us go longer.
But we don't go offshore for a week at a time. There's always some place we can stop and get water. You just pull up to a marina. They're probably, they're expensive, I imagine. I mean, water makers are not cheap. Yeah, they're a couple grand. But if somebody, let's say somebody...
But then we can put it on the big boat when we get the big boat. We'll already have it. We'll have it now. It'll be convenient now. We'll have it for later. It'll be at work later.
Water makers are kind of a luxury. You can usually get by without them.
I like luxury.
If you let's say you're a boat and you go to the Bahamas a couple times a year and you don't want to really bother to put all that into your boat.
Well, we've been discussing going to the Bahamas. So we're definitely going to need it.
We can still get water in the Bahamas. There is ways of getting around the world without a water maker. People have done it for centuries. Huh. It's definitely a luxury.
Don't you think that if they could have one, they would have had one?
Sometimes. But, you know, it's another thing.
Shot down,
once again, it's another thing you have to maintain. And they're, you know, they break and then you have to fix them.
Maintain it.
So, but the one thing is it's not integrated into your system. So people
It was very neat that it was, you know, you don't have to go traveling through the whole guts of your boat to try to figure out how to put the water maker in. It was just a convenient two-piece set. So very cool.
The next item we came across was Pontos Power and Speed Winches. And I have never saw these before at a boat show. I've probably been around. I just haven't ever had noticed them. But
this man was very excited for me to play with his winch.
Yeah, he really was excited to have Brandy try out these winches. So, and you know, you're beautiful. He wants a beautiful spokesmodel to out the winches so that all the crusty sailors say, what's that girl doing over there playing with those winches?
All I can remember is, Brandy, here, grab my winch. Here, yeah. Brandy, hold my winch. Here, you ready to hold my winch?
So they had two different winches. They have a power and a speed one. And I think you did the power one, I did the speed one. But essentially, I've seen two speed winches before, but these are four speed winches. So, you know,
definitely made it quick.
You go one way and it would click, and then you'd turn it the other way and it'd click again, and you just keep going and it would keep putting more and more tension on it.
And as soon as it got hard, you just went the other direction and it made it easy again. It made it very easy.
But you did it the one demonstration where you put tension on the rope and you got it as tight as it would go with barely even putting pressure on the winch handle. And then he pulled the winch handle off and he hit the rope and it sounded like a piano string. I mean, it had
tight as could be
super tension. And then the speed one I did. And when you've got it in that speed gear, I mean, the rope is, it's probably going through 20 feet of rope every 2 seconds. It's just flying out of there. So I guess for racers, they really like it. But so we thought those were kind of cool.
We don't need that for our boat.
I don't think we need. We're not doing anything that fast. The McGregor can do fine without a power or speed winch.
I'm your winch anyway, so it doesn't matter. You're going to shoot me down on all this stuff just to watch me work.
Yep. Work those arm muscles. The next one we came across was Copper Coat.
This stuff is really cool.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
I first saw this on another YouTube channel. We watch a lot of sailing YouTube channels, but Sailing UMA.
UMA.
Yeah, look them up. They young couple getting going, trying to make their way and get out there and sail. And they're doing everything they can to keep costs down. And
they're being very green about it. They're being very earth friendly.
Right. So they used this product called Copper Coat. And what it is, it's a epoxy bottom coat. But essentially, you're mixing copper powder in with this epoxy. And we talked to the guy, and I'm going to have a video on the video that we put out. But he explained that it's essentially, they've had boats out there for 22 years now with this on the bottom, and they still haven't had to redo the bottom. The only thing you do about every 10 years, your water line, you have to touch up with a new coat. But the rest of the bottom, he says that the boats will sit for they had a boat that was sitting for, I think, 13 months.
Yeah. He has a picture of it, and it was nasty.
Yeah, the guy, it was like literally probably 8 inches of growth off the bottom. And the guy thought, you know, I probably ruined the bottom. He called up Copper Coat. What should I do? And they told him where to take it.
They pulled the boat out of the water, yeah, actually.
Pulled the boat out of the water. And the guy that was going to do the resurfacing took a towel and wiped off 6 to 8 inches of growth, and there was nothing hard stuck to the bottom.
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing bottom coat.
So he said it doesn't have any hard growth. Everything just wipes off with a cloth for, you know, 20 years. And it's a little bit more expensive than a bottom job, but I don't think it's as much as twice a normal bottom job. So you're getting, you know, at least right now, it looks like you're getting 5 times the, you know, bottom jobs than you would on, and so it was just really interesting. So
we got a little snippet from him too, so
yep.
We'll probably, is that going to be in the video or
yeah,
we'll
that's have all that separate? That's all in the video. Yeah. So check out the video, see all of that he talks about it. Another one we saw, another vendor that I've never seen before, and this was a kind
gentlemen
of a,
this is very good gift ideas for your significant other. It's Chart Metalware. And it's basically jewelry or ornaments. I don't know if there was keychains or what, but it's basically maps or some type of...
It's all charts, yeah.
Yeah, it's pieces all charts. Pieces of charts. But he takes the little piece and makes it into a really pretty necklace charm or a bracelet charm. And they're beautifully done. I think they had them in gold and silver, if I remember correctly. And it's, you know, all different shapes that go along with boating.
Oh, yeah.
Anchors and... Steering wheels.
Yeah, really, and essentially what I thought was cool is they will do a custom one. So if you want a chart of the coastline that your yacht club is on or somewhere you grew up. Your favorite place you've ever cruised, they'll make that, take that little 1-inch piece of chart or however small you want to make it, and they'll make a custom piece out of that. So yeah. Really cool.
Cute.
Yeah. Another one we saw, and Brandy just had
this
to stop.
My favorite.
Is what the...
It's the Carib paddle boards. And one of the designs that I fell in love with was a turtle design. It's a really cool... It was a blow-up paddle board. And it had a green... It was a green board. And then it had the turtle shell where you stand. And that's also, I think, in our video as well, me standing with it. But it was really, really cool. It had turtles.
Yeah, you definitely like that one. And then right next to that was another one that we had a hard time pulling you away from.
Chairs. Whatever you do, the hammock chairs, don't sit in them. Do not test them out unless you're actually going to buy one, because you will get stuck because they are super comfortable.
This one wasn't really, it was a hanging chair. It wasn't a hammock. It was like a hard chair with the foot rest out.
Yeah.
But it's called Easy Hang. And so I'll put them in the show notes too.
Now, were those made to be hanging from a boat or just?
Sure. If you had a big enough boat. You asked me where we were there. Could we hang this out from the boom or something? I said, yeah, if we get a big enough boat.
So they can be hung from the mast and the...
Sure.
Sure. Well, all right. Well,
I think we've watched, like, Delos. They had one of those hanging chairs that they've hung off the... You can hang it off of your... if you had a dinghy, davits, you could hang it off of there. Huh. Hang out over the water. Or the boom. So... And then another, the last vendor we stopped by that I thought was kind of unique, and there was just so many vendors, we didn't have a chance to stop at everybody because we were trying to get around and see everything, but we tried to find kind of unique ones, and this one was Ella Vickers sailcloth bags and miscellaneous things made out of sailcloth. So you might have saw these, you know, become kind of a fashion piece, but it's cool because they're taking both old sails and new sails and making them into duffel bags, into purses, you know, all kinds of storage things that you can use on the boat.
Yeah.
What I thought it was cool is that you have the choice if you want to use new sail material, so it's bright, white, gorgeous, or you can also get more of a weathered sail material look. And they did really nice work. They're all just beautiful stitching and everything, so we'll put a link to that in the show notes and you can take a look, but they did really neat work. We thought that was pretty cool. So then we were done with the vendors. We met up with some great friends of ours from South Florida that came down to hang out at the boat show and check it out. And they, you know, they're not sailors, they're power boaters. So we had already spent most of the day running around the sailboats in the morning. And so we said, well, why don't we run over to the powerboat side of the show, which they have a new setup this year at the Miami Boat Show that they went to the Miami Marine Park, which is probably about a half mile away, but they had water taxis running between the two. So we thought, well, let's go get on the water taxi and take our way over there.
Bad idea.
Yeah, that was a bad idea. So we got over there and the line was probably a quarter mile long, and they had pretty big water taxis and they were coming quite frequently, but by the time you get all the people off, they're coming from the other side, and all the new people on, and they were only loading one at a time, this line was moving like a snail.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like there was enough taxis going through at all, because we literally stood there for, I would say, almost 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was a good 30, yeah.
30, 40 minutes, and literally moved maybe 15 people. It felt like it just...
So it
was getting warm and boring, and so we decided to go hit up the tiki bar. What do you do when you can't get where you want to go? Go have a beverage.
I think it was a unanimous decision between the eight of us that do we want to stand in this line, get all the way over there and stick in another line to get back, or do we want to just go have a beer?
It was unanimous. We all went and had a beer. But it was really cool that we went when we did, because while we were sitting there, we actually had, I asked this couple to take a picture of our group, and we met a couple who also owns a 26 McGregor. So it was fun chatting with them. I can't remember their names. We got a card somewhere.
Yeah, and so they gave us
a great...
If you're
listening to this, we'll find that card.
They gave us a great tip on a place to go in the Keys.
Absolutely, and we're excited to check that out.
I don't remember what that is either.
They've had their...
I'll have to look it up.
Cujo Key. Yeah, I remember that part.
Yeah,
but it was fun talking to them. We talked to them for probably a good 20 minutes. They've had their McGregor for, 10 years?
Yeah, they had a 26X. It's the model before ours, but they
it was a 2003, I think they said.
They've had a lot of good adventures on it.
So that was neat, running into them.
So then we finished up the day, our first day, looking at the Lagoon catamarans, another one of the big catamaran brands. And they were all really nice, comfortable. You could tell they're really catering to the charter crowd. They have these kind of front patios in front of the salon now that, if you did any serious offshore cruising, I think you'd be pretty worried about a wave coming over and filling that thing up and coming through the sliding glass doors. But I mean, they're really,
think about that.
They're designed to be, in sheltered waters, coastal. I mean, I'm sure people are taking them offshore and doing those things, but they're made to be a party boat, and they are done very well to be a party boat. We went on the 58-foot cat they had there, and it felt like a 70-foot cat. It was huge.
It felt bigger than our house.
Yeah. I think if you added up all of the living space, both inside, outside, the upstairs patio, I think there's more square foot than our house. It had this massive salon inside, and then you went up on the deck where the helm was, and there had to be, you could seat people in these seats, probably at least 20 seats.
Yeah, you said it even had like a grill and everything.
Yeah, it had a full
there,
outdoor
right?
kitchen. You could have easily had a party for 30 people on the top deck of this boat. It was amazing. So that was fun to see.
And
definitely,
that's why they are popular.
Yeah, I mean, if you could get four couples down in the BVIs on one of those, you'd be very comfortable for a week. So I can see why they'd be popular in the charter trade. So that was really it for the, we had pretty much burned out on
Saturday. If you've never been to the Miami Boat Show, it's huge. I mean, one area is nothing but sail and the other area is the motorboats, but it really takes all day to really go through. And we didn't even get through everything. We ended up kind of stopping about, I guess it was about 4 o'clock when we met up with everybody. But
you also get tired of climbing in and out of boats.
Yeah.
And they all start to look alike.
They do start looking the same, so.
Because.
And it gets very busy, so.
No matter what, you're still dealing, even if you get up to 60, 70 feet, you're still dealing with fairly small spaces compared to a house. So the bathrooms are smaller. It just, they all start to kind of feel similar. So
it just gets busy, too. And once you have four other people on the boat looking at it and you want to get on it and you're patiently trying to wait and, let them go through it and enjoy their moment of looking through it, it gets a little overwhelming. So we were done by 4:30, 5 o'clock, I think.
So we had enough. And luckily, some friends of ours had decided it was his birthday weekend. So they decided to come down and stay in the same hotel we were.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And have a Valentine's dinner on Saturday night. So we all went out. for Valentine's and had a really nice dinner.
Something Gastro Pub. I don't even remember what it was called now.
Brick Gastro Pub, I think. There you go. Was good food.
Great food.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it. Had a nice time out. And then we went back. Our hotel had a lounge with a pink pool table.
Pink pool table is really cool.
Definitely Miami.
Definitely Miami.
So we played a couple games of pool on the pink pool table and chatted with other locals.
Yep.
We met, Jim.
Jim
was his name? Yep. It was George, not George Harrison, George Hamilton lookalike. He was a George Hamilton lookalike. And then he stated, after I said that he looked like George Hamilton, he said, I get that all the time. And he told me I look like Kevin Costner, which I don't think anybody's told me I look like Kevin Costner. But what
I can see it now that people say it.
But what was really bizarre is earlier in the day when we were going around with one of the vendors, somewhere out of the blue, somebody said, hey,
I think
that's
why we were talking to the Helia guy, wasn't it?
Maybe. They said, did anybody tell you you look like Kevin Costner? So at some point, I guess I've turned into a Kevin Costner doppelganger.
Well, you had a little bit of a rough... your beard was a little bit of a shadow, too.
I don't know. Maybe
helped.
I think it's more that my hair has become thin enough to...
Maybe take it as a compliment because everybody out there, female-wise, is going to agree Kevin Costner is a handsome man.
Well, if we had his money, then we wouldn't have any problem with shopping at this show. So that was interesting. So we had a really good night out in Miami and great time with friends, great catching up with them. We don't see enough of them, so... We got up the next day, they went back home, and we went back over to the show, and we wanted to focus more on monohulls the second day because we'd spent so much time on the catamarans the day before. So we went around and saw some really just interesting catamarans. I think we went through the Catalinas, the Hunters, and then we went over on...
Hunter didn't have very many this time. They only had two, and they were both the... over 50 footers, I believe they were. So that was kind of disappointing because I remember being at the St. Pete show and getting on the Hunter, I think it was the Hunter 40, and was just impressed by that boat. So I was kind of looking forward to looking at that boat again and kind of comparing it to things. And Hunter only had the two big, big boats, so...
Yeah, so we, and a couple of those were just so crowded, we didn't even bother getting on them, so we couldn't even really get to see them. But, we went over and saw a couple of the, I guess you could call them more luxury monohulls. I mean, not huge, but they were definitely luxury. And the first one was the Amel 55.
Which is one of your favorites.
Yeah, it was, I have a whole new appreciation for Amel. I've been following the Delos crew, if you watch any of the Delos YouTube videos, for a long time. And the Amel is just a really well-built boat, taking a lot of people around the world. But you don't think about, you know, the more modern version of this boat. This Amel 55, brand new out of the factory, had just every kind of technical innovation you can imagine on it. And on top of that, the fit and finish was like a beautiful piece of furniture. It was just modern inside, gorgeous, sleek. I fell in love. I mean, it was just, it was gorgeous. If I could afford one, that it for a monohull, it was... It was my favorite monohull at the show. It was gorgeous, gorgeous. So I'm going to put up a video of our tour, but I'm also going to put up, I went out just as curiosity, and Yachting Monthly did a tour of the Amel 55, and it's like a 25-minute video, and I'm going to put that up too because it had some of innovations on it that the one that we saw didn't even have, but it gives you all the details of what's in each locker, and it just, they really thought out everything so well on this boat. So I didn't even look at what the price is. I got to imagine it's probably a mil and a half at least. It was an amazing boat. So
a mil for the Amel?
A mil for the Amel, yep.
Sorry, I'm a pun queen.
Great. The next one we went to was the Hylas 46, and we always go to the Hylases at the show just because they're just so beautiful inside.
I don't think we see enough boats like these at the boat shows. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the Beneteaus and the Genoa, however you say these words, they're very modern. The Hylas is a very, I don't know, it's very woody and homey inside, and just, it's a completely different feel than all those other boats. And I wish there was more of those boats at the boat show, because
Well, there's just not that many of these those types of manufacturers.
They're
out
just
there.
Not being made anymore.
They are. They're being made. They're made at a lower volume. They're not appealing to the mass market like those. And the price tag is significantly more.
I guess.
Double. I mean, you got to look at that. That's why it looks like it does inside. It's double the cost of another
boat. Was beautiful. Yeah.
So the this was the Hylas 46. And it just had a great, really homey interior. The owners were on board, and they were really nice to talk to. They're actually selling this 46 that they've been cruising on up and down the East Coast and over to the Bahamas and down the islands.
They've been on it for 4 years.
But they're selling it because they want a bigger Hylas. That tells you they've been really impressed, and they take it to a lot of the boat shows. They're selling it for $800,000, and I think it's a 2012. I'd have to look at the year again. But, I mean, they hold their value. It's definitely a really high-quality boat. Everything, just the feel of it, the livability of it was really nice. One of the things I noticed is that we really haven't talked about before is the center cockpit versus a rear cockpit. And what I'm finding is the ones that we feel are more livable are the center cockpits because it separates that bedroom to the back. And it just gives more overall livability room.
But I noticed with the Hylas, when we were in their boat, the main area just seemed so much more compact. Probably because they do have all of the,
yeah, it's all the side
cabinets
cupboards
and everything still in it. But even still, it seemed a lot more narrow than the other boats that we were in. So again, probably is because those cabinets are there, but it was just a completely different feel on that boat. So,
well, and the problem with some of these designs that are so wide open, if you take that boat into any kind of offshore situation or in rough seas, and you go down below, 8 feet is a long way to fall from one side of the boat to the other. It's almost nice having a little bit more interior things to hold on to, a table or something in the way with a handhold on it to help you get around the boat. So that's,
well, I would imagine if you're in seas that are rough and going to be throwing you all over the place, you're not going to be standing up and walking around. You're going
to
be,
you got to go down to go to the bathroom or go down to get something to eat or go down to get to your berth.
I guess so.
So, you know, you're going to have to go down below at some point. But so I think that, you know, that's the fun of looking at these boats is kind of seeing things you like. And that's kind of, I thought that, you know, we're going to definitely look at some of the center cockpits.
It is going to take us forever to agree on a boat. That's what we have come to the conclusion of.
Well, I also, the other thing I noticed about both the Hylas and the Amel had that I like is the open sterns and the steps that are built into the stern. So it's kind of this, it takes that sugar scoop from the catamaran with steps going up the hull, into the hull, and puts it into the monohull, which makes nice for boarding out of your dinghy and things along those lines. So I definitely thought about that, and it's a little bit harder to get back up on a monohull from the back if you don't have those that capability. Another boat that we looked at right after that was kind of a interesting hybrid. It was a Nauticat 331 motor sailer. And, you know, motor sailors are kind of that hybrid. They're, you know, it's made for both cruising under almost like a trawler that also could sail. And, but for 31 feet, this boat had quite a bit of
it was
space
interesting.
In it.
I've never been on a boat like this before. And first off, you don't want to be very tall to have it because the step in and out is going to knock you out if you're not careful. But when you get inside, it's just, it was neat how the center area was so compact and up. It was like raised, and then you, front or back, you took quite a few steps down into both of those berths. But it was a neat feel, not something that I would prefer, but it was interesting getting inside of one and seeing how the actual feel of them are.
Well, I thought was interesting is we were talking about the size difference between a boat in the 30s and a boat in the 40s. And it showed what you have to do to make a boat in the 30s more livable. They either have to be a lot wider or a lot taller. This one's a lot taller to give you the space and to get around. So the salon was kind of up top with the ability to steer in the coach house and then the bathroom or the berths in the front and the back. But it had livability, but it's still pretty small. You start to think about living in 31 feet. I know people have gone around the world in those types of boats, but it would definitely get cramped. So then we left there, and the cool thing about the Miami show is not just new boats. They have a whole line of brokers' boats, and we saw some really cool boats there last year, so we went back and wanted to see what the brokers had. And so I checked out a couple of them that I put in the video. The first one was a 1994 Bristol 57, and I had to stop at this boat because my family's first sailboat when we were kids, my dad bought a brand new 1970s, I don't know what year it was, Bristol 22. Great quality boat, just really well built, and that's what I grew up sailing on. The good old, we named it Tadpole.
Our, which I think is so cute for a
little,
boat.
Little green tadpole boat. And we actually lived on that boat for a whole summer while one of our houses were being built. Four of us in a 22-foot boat. So we squeezed in there. But this was a whole another level of boat. 57 feet, Bristol quality, just gorgeous, gorgeous. You don't think you would even go inside it. So you have to see the video.
I was getting pretty pooped by the time we were hitting these.
If you thought the Hylas was pretty, this is just as pretty. All black granite countertops throughout, gorgeous wood, just really livable. And it's a 1994 boat, 57 foot, and it's selling for $700,000.
That's crazy.
So talk about holding your value. They're definitely, it's a great cruising boat. And it was just beautiful. Blue hull, just gorgeous. And then the second boat I looked at in the broker's area was a 1983 Choi Lee 53, a classic cruiser boat. And what I thought was interesting is they've taken this boat, 1983 boat, and did a complete refit last year in 2015. New engine, new wiring, replaced some of the interior refit. And it had kind of a funky coloring scheme inside. It had all this colorful tile on the countertops and the bathrooms and stuff. Definitely had a little bit of a old school feel to it, but really high quality boat. So I'll put that in the show notes too, and you can look at or it's going to be in the video too. But that one was $270,000. Pretty reasonable for a boat that size that has been completely refit top to bottom. The next thing we went over to was the Schooner Mystic. It was
this was really neat to walk through.
Yeah, they had a full 170-foot schooner that was for sale.
If anybody wants to go in with us, we would love to actually own it and do B&B.
I don't want to be a B&B. I don't want to do a B&B on the water, but somebody probably would. That'd be their dream. It carries 36 passengers, 12 crew, and was going for $3 million. So for $3 million, you can have your own bed and breakfast right on the water, take people chartering out.
It was beautiful inside.
It was in really good condition. Yeah. It looked like it was in pristine condition.
Made me feel like I was going on to like a movie or something, like the Titanic. Obviously it wasn't the scale of the Titanic, but just the feel of the way that it looked inside. It was neat.
It was in very good condition. And then we finished up the show. One of the things that we'd passed by on the first day, catamarans that I wanted to go back and look at, was the Gemini catamarans, and they had two catamarans there, the Gemini Legacy 35 and the Gemini Freestyle Concept 37. And the Concept 37 caught my eye because it's essentially an open deck catamaran it had almost nothing on the top deck, like almost big patio seating where you could put couches out there and everything, and then just some cabins up front. And it was a really interesting concept. And then I've read more about it after I've come back from the show. And it's actually designed to be kind of a commercial charter concept that could be an owner-operator that could live on the boat. And I was surprised at the capacity. It says it's rated for 32 passengers. So you could actually make some money taking this thing out.
Yeah, it looked like a giant pontoon boat.
Yeah, but it was. It was like a big, one of those big deck boats, boats that you go out, like pontoon boats. But it was really a cool design. I like that. And then we went over to the Legacy 35. And I always thought these were kind of interesting, smaller catamarans, but really a neat layout. If you've never been on a Legacy 35, you'll see the video. The galley is down in one of the pontoons on one side. And then there's a bathroom and berth. And then on the other side, there's another berth down below. And then the master kind of sets up behind the salon at the front window. So you're kind of elevated looking out the front windows. I always thought that was kind of cool. You wake up and look out your windows easily. And the salon is not, it's not like standing room. When you get into the table, you kind of have to crouch down to get into the table, but it's all just very comfortable. It's a well laid out boat. And, you know, it's got good room for catamaran. And they're not super wide. So I think you can actually park a Gemini in a normal berth. It doesn't take up a full, like a normal, one of these 20-foot wide catamarans. So that was it. That was all the boats we looked at that point. We were burnt out of getting on and off boats. And but we had a great show. Lots of drooling over things we can't afford. But,
well, it just made us come back down to reality and realize, A, we need to get our butts in gear and start getting our sailing kitty up to par. And it just gives us an overview of the size that we're going to need to start looking forward to and, you know, what we can deal with together and just take on, you know, the different from going from a 26-foot to a liveaboard. So it was fun. I think it every time we go, we learn something new about what we like, don't like, what we are going to need and want in the future. So It was a good show.
Yep. Great motivation. And we'll just get back to building up that cruising kitty. We'll get there someday. So as I mentioned before, we're putting out YouTube videos on the show, and you can see they're pretty quick walkthroughs of each of these boats. You can just fast forward to the ones you want, or just we go through them pretty quick on the videos. So I mentioned earlier in the show that our patrons are going to get access to those videos a week early. So if you're interested in being a patron, definitely go out and look at our Patreon site. It's at thesailingroad.com/Patreon, or just go to thesailingroad.com. There's a link right on the top menu, and take a look at that.
And speaking of Patreon.
Yeah, we've had our first Rear Admiral.
Yes. Thank you to Alex from Boston. He is our first admiral. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. But it's cool to see that you are enjoying us and took that step to help us and support us through this.
Absolutely. So Alex is going to be getting the first Rear Admiral Sailing Road t-shirt, which I haven't made yet. I've got to get on that and get him done. So he'll get that along with a lot of other really cool rewards that you'll see on there for being a supporter of the podcast. And then I also want to thank my own brother, Sean, who surprised me at Christmas time and became a master supporter of the podcast.
You think he just wants you to call him master?
That's absolutely why he did it. In fact, he put that in the email.
That's right, he did.
From now on, just you call me master. Can only call me master, is what he said.
Sean, when we are referring to you on the podcast, we will every once in a while call you master.
So Master Sean, we appreciate your support.
We appreciate you.
And I'm sure he'll take advantage of that and tell us what we can do.
Thank you to our supporters.
We appreciate that. And then Facebook, we had put out a request on the last podcast. What was your request?
To Facebook, I wanted to get up to 220 likes on Facebook, and you guys have exceeded it. I think we hit up to 239. Oh gosh, I haven't even
something
looked
like
at
there
it.
Yet.
But you went past the 220, so I appreciate it. Keep liking us on Facebook and checking us out on Instagram. Instagram, we asked for you to hashtag the Sailing Road and get a picture area going, and we got some first listener picks. So thank you to...
Well, we got one listener who, I don't know, because it's everything's a username. So the listener sent us a picture of a recipe of grog.
Oh, that's right. We got to try this.
We got a picture of the recipe for grog and said, you know, thanks to the Sailing Road, and put that up there. So we're going to have to make up some grog and take a picture and post it up there, show him enjoying our grog on the boat. And I think grog is...
Hold on, I'm going to... I meant to have this pulled up. So I got it pulled up, and Greg sent... Or the grog is... It is lime juice, brown sugar, dark rum with 4 ounces of water. It's in a glass like an old fashioned. And you take the brown sugar in your shaker, add a splash of warm water, 1 ounce to dissolve the sugar, and add lime juice. You put in the rum, rest of the water in ice. You shake, pour over smashed ice, and serve. And it sounds delicious. So we will be giving this a try soon enough.
We're going to have some grog. So he was the first person to post a picture on hashtag the Sailing Road. And then
Eslindel. So thank you, Eslindel, for that.
And then right after that, we got a picture posted by a listener of ours, Neil. And Neil actually bought Andy Shell's former boat, Arcturus. So if anybody listens to the 59 Degrees North Sailing Podcast, you know Andy sold his, I think it's Allied boat, and Neil, one of our listeners, bought the boat. It's still over in Sweden, but Neil's planning to have some great adventures on that. And he posted a picture of Arcturus up on the hashtag The Sailing Road. So we really
appreciate
that. Beautiful
boat. Yeah. Good luck with the boat and enjoy your new adventures on that. That was a beautiful picture.
Yeah. A couple other things to finish out the show here. People have been great about supporting the Amazon program. It's another great way to support the podcast. So you can do that by going to thesailingroad.com/Amazon or just look for the Amazon link or our Amazon store in the top menu of the website. And we got an email from one of our Canadian listeners. Jody from Alberta, Canada emailed us and he wanted to show his support by using the Amazon. He had some stuff he wanted to buy, but he pointed out that there are a number of sellers on the US Amazon site that won't ship to Canada. So he was wondering if there was a way he could do it through the Amazon.ca, the Canada site. And so I looked into it, and I guess Amazon's not into supporting the global affiliate yet. So I had to set up a separate affiliate in Canada. So I'm going to put up a link somewhere on the website. I'll figure out a place, probably on the sidebar, look for it. For our Canadian listeners, which is our second biggest group of, with all our 80 countries that we're in, United States is the most listeners, but Canada's right close by after that. And so if you're up in Canada and you want to buy something through the Amazon.ca site and use our affiliate link, we'd really appreciate that. It brings great support to the podcast, so I'll post that up for you guys. And the other thing you guys can really do, as we always say, to support the podcast, the number one thing you can do is tell everybody that you know about it. Especially all your sailing friends, when you're getting started here in the sailing season at the Yacht Club, on your online forums, any of those places, definitely mention it to people, show them how to get to it on their phone, tell them it's free, fun to listen to, makes your commute go by or your tough workout, out for a run, whatever you're doing. So we really appreciate everything you're doing to spread the word on the podcast. And then if you have any show ideas or people that you think would be great for us to interview, products you love, just to say hello, any of those
please
things.
Please send hellos. We love hearing from everybody. We're getting quite a few emails from listeners, and it's just fun to hear about your adventures on your sailboats and what you're doing to get into that future of sailing. And it's just, it's cool. So keep emailing us at crew, C-R-E-W, at thesailingroad.com.
And that's it. So another showdown, and we look forward to seeing you on the water soon.
Thanks, everybody.